You can never be sure just where you're going, and memory is a fleeting thing. But you can always know exactly where you are. Shady Pines Radio. You've always been invited, and now you're here.
Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Cree.
I'm Jessica Mullen.
And this is your hour of fun. And don't mind the pounding noise if you hear it.
This season is still construction in Cleveland. It won't be winter until,
I don't know, February?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Construction never really ends. It might just pause. But they'll keep going through the winter probably. Anyway, if you hear that pounding.
Enjoy. Have fun. Just have fun. What do we got on the docket this week?
Why'd you look at me when you said we?
I said you, we. I could start. We have a major quarantine manifestation. It's called a deep freezer.
Oh, yes.
We received the gift of our dreams.
We might have even talked about it on here before.
I don't know if we've talked about it since we got it, though.
No, I just mean we may have mentioned that it was like our biggest wish.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it all the time because we kept saying a deep freeze isn't going to plug my hole.
It's not going to solve your life.
And since we decided to plug our own holes, we got a deep freeze.
I mean, it's doing a pretty good job of plugging the holes right now.
It was a drain not having a deep freeze because
picture this.
We have a fridge from the 80s and the gasket, the seal, whatever you call it, that seals the door. It sucks. It's falling apart. It needs to be replaced. But we don't want to call maintenance while we have all this food in our freezer. What are we going to do with all the food?
That's not even the main reason why we wanted a deep freeze.
Why is it?
Because we don't have enough room in our freezer and we have to take out literally every single object anytime we want to get anything. And we've had to limit what we could buy because our freezer is stuffed completely full and we couldn't even buy the frozen fruit that we wanted to buy because there was no room. We had to limit the $2 pizzas that we ordered from Whole Foods when they were having a sale.
50% off frozen pizzas.
$2.
And we could only get two.
No. Right there, that's money down the drain.
And then the bananas we keep in the door started thawing randomly.
In our freezer door. So that's not cool.
And it was really stressful because we're never going to have an empty freezer where we can be like, come fix this gasket.
The freezer is full of meals for the next many months.
And then we couldn't even cook more than one meal at once to freeze, you know, have a little variety.
Right. There's we were always having to like focus on eating stuff out of the freezer. Like, I want to hoard and like build up more and more so I have like all the soups in the freezer so that I can just like pick, you know,
what flavor you want that day.
Right.
And then like we have 15 pounds of rice. And that needs to be frozen or the weevils will come out.
Although luckily the weather is changing, so the weevil wasn't as much of a threat, but we still have 3 5-pound bags of rice in our freezer because we couldn't find brown rice for the longest. And so, yes, we are hoarding brown rice.
Just because you had to order it by the 3 5-pound bags to get it delivered.
Right.
So our hero gave us a gift. Can I say who the hero was?
Yeah.
Kelly's mom gave it to us for Christmas. And it's already here. Yeah. It's already in use. It already is filled with pizza. Fuck a soup.
And spinach. And spinach. The frozen fruit we couldn't get before.
And as you can tell, we're quite obsessed with it. We've spoken about this for 4 minutes now, and
well, and it was our biggest wish, and it didn't even take that long to come. I mean, I know I expressed my deep desire for the deep freeze to my mom, but I mean, I'm sure she had an inkling, but I don't know if she knew it was our biggest wish. I guess she must have. That's why she wanted to get it for us. But, like, I don't know. It's cool. Like, it was the thing that, like we said, we kept on referring to, like, that would be our pinnacle, to just have a fucking deep freeze. And, like, now we got it so fast. All we had to do was ask and just put it out there.
Yeah, it was so easy once we... I had a strong desire last week when I saw those, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, when I saw those thawed bananas and was like, something's got to change. Something needs to be done, but there wasn't anything I could do in that moment because there's too much food in there. We're not going to just eat it all. Yes,
we've been wanting a new fridge for the longest, been wanting to open a ticket, but it's like, when is a good time to open a ticket for your fridge? Like, never.
Especially when we have to... basically have a month of groceries on hand, or, you know, we don't have a car, so we buy our produce a week at a time.
Right. I've got 4 yogurt tubs in there right now. Like, I can't have someone in here tinkering around jeopardizing my yogurt. What's the name brand?
So yeah, we do. We are very, like, our groceries and our meals is one of the things
our prized possessions, y'all. Let's be real.
We are dead serious about our groceries.
Well, actually, I have a different prized possession right now.
Oh.
It's my circus sweater the wife got me for my half birthday, because today's my half birthday eve, by the way, so happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you. I'm just so glad we got to get you a gift.
Oh, yes. So we were... That's a good segue, right? You're done. Was there anything more you wanted to say about the deep freeze?
I just want to say how grateful I am to your mom. And
me too.
I am just so deeply appreciative of having the storage space, and I feel so much more relaxed
deeply
about, like, being in a winter quarantine. Or, yeah, you know, like, they just issued a stay at home like 5 minutes ago.
Right.
For our city, and...
stay-at-home suggestion.
Recommendation.
I think it was called a stay-at-home if you want to.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the title of the recommendation was... actually, there was something that's going to be lawfully enforced, and it was the no dancing law.
The cops will come if you dance.
It said flatten the curve, don't dance.
It's a good episode name.
Yes.
And... yeah, we went grocery shopping today, and normally we can only fit $50 worth of groceries in our fridge, and this week we got to spend $74.
Yes, so we balled out.
We get to hoard $24 of frozen fruit and spinach.
And it was mostly, like, I was talking to my mom about this, and I was telling her, yeah, we stocked up on some stuff that we haven't been able to stock up on, like spinach and frozen fruit, for example. Like, we have to go to the store every week because we don't have room to freeze enough of those things to last for 2 weeks. So now we finally could, but then I realized it was more just about how we don't want to go to the store during the week of Thanksgiving than any other reason.
Right, we're not really trying to stop going to the store every week because we do still need to get grapes once a week.
And bananas.
Yeah.
And apples.
We really need our fruit stand of grapes, bananas, and apples on the corner, but anyway... I'm just so happy we got that because it made grocery shopping so much more fun to not feel so limited only by what I could carry on my back, which is way more than will fit in my fridge.
Oh my gosh, it was heavy, but it was worth it.
And now we can cook whatever we want, and we already have ordered pizza and put a whole ass pizza down there.
It's in our basement, by the way, which is like... shared with our roommate, and I just
our neighbor,
know,
not
sorry,
our roommate.
Sorry, not our roommate. Pony and Linty. I just, I don't know, I think it's funny thinking about, like, if it were me, I would definitely look in someone else's deep freeze.
Of course.
So.
Inquiring minds must know.
Yeah. She's going to open it. She's going to be like, spinach.
Where's all the good stuff?
Like, she's expecting, like, Schwann's drumsticks. That's what I would want to find.
Yeah, right.
I would totally snake a Schwann's drumstick.
Oh, I don't think I could ever eat Schwann's again.
What?
Remember the incident?
No.
In Austin, the one and only time we ordered it?
We got Schwan's.
Yeah, and then there was a hair in my ice cream sandwich.
What?
You don't remember
Oh my
that?
God, I must have blocked this out. Oh, and then the whole thing, they were going to replace the ice cream sandwiches, and then he came knocking at like 8 a.m. trying to replace these ice cream sandwiches, and then we could never rendezvous with them. Yes, I remember.
Never again.
I really had blocked out about the hair, though. It's disgusting.
It's just not right. That shouldn't happen.
No.
So, and the other thing that we get to stock up on is the dollar bag of 8 hot dogger burns.
So Hort Dogger Borns, I think, is the name on the packaging.
We get to hoard 8 borns.
I never wanted to get the buns because they're so annoying in the freezer. They're always, like, they're not contained. And so they're always sliding all over the place.
Oh, shit. We forgot to break them apart before we froze them. Crap.
It's okay. There's probably still time.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Alexa, remind me.
I'll have to go down there on the break.
Okay.
It's my favorite pastime going down to the deep freeze, so just let me know
okay.
if you ever need anything out of there.
Please do. Check those buns.
Popsicle. I will.
So we're flying high off this major manifestation of a deep freezer. Like last week I talked about how my life revolved around meals and food and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have so much to tell you about that.
Okay.
But this week, I'm okay with it revolving around food and meals because now I don't feel stressed about it.
Right.
We got all our groceries. We're ready for this holiday lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a different attitude due to all of these different things that I'm going to tell you about.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about your half birthday present.
Okay. Yeah, another major manifestation. So
here's the scene. Sitting in bed, and Kelly's like, I just really want to go thrifting.
Been dying to thrift.
We haven't gone thrifting since March.
And I've been doing a lot of online shopping, and just for fun, just to see what's out there.
Window shopping, right?
Yeah. I got this turtleneck, and I really, really like it. It's perfect. And I'm not even going to tell y'all what it is, because it's like sold out now, but when they get more, I'll tell y'all. So that's kind of what started it, is that I got this turtleneck and I've been so happy with it. Like, it's my first turtleneck, probably not ever, but you know, as an adult living in the North. And so I've been so happy with that. And so I've just been like window shopping other cozy clothes and seeing a lot of sweaters that I like, but the really nice ones, of course, are super expensive. Like, I wanted a really nice cable knit, and that's just something that's so easy to find at a thrift store. Like, there's always hella sweaters.
Yeah.
And so I was just, like, really gagging to thrift and just buy some sweaters, you know, and not have to spend, like, $100
on a nice sweater. And we're sitting there, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, well, first of all, the fitting rooms probably still aren't open, and I have no interest in buying clothes that I can't try on at a thrift store. Like, it's just too risky to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sound fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would, like, try on a sweater in the middle of the aisle, I guess, but it just sounds
you
annoying.
You still don't know who just touched it and all that.
Well, it's just, like, it just seemed kind of still weird to go thrifting.
And we're supposed to stay at home. We've been recommended not to go thrifting by our governor. Our mayor.
So I'm still not really interested. I mean, I want to go, but not maybe in 2 years. And I say to Kelly, have you ever looked at Depop? And I had never gotten the app before, but I know people who sell their clothes on Depop, and I thought, there's got to be someone selling sweaters for a reasonable price, and then it's kind of like thrifting.
Kind of. I mean, I was up on Depop, but I was, like, not really. I'm just like, I don't know. I didn't want to go and have to pay some overprice is what my vision of Depop would be. Like, people wanting to charge too much for shit.
Right. Like, they did the thrifting, and now they're marking it up.
Right. Which would be fine, but as I already said...
You don't trust their taste, I know.
From what I saw, it wasn't the sweaters I would have picked out.
Well, we didn't go through every Depop sweater available.
We were deep.
We were deep in the Depop, and so I got the app, signed all up and everything, and then we're scrolling.
I'm like begrudgingly looking at these with her, but I'm like, there's a couple that are cute, but...
And it's been like 20 minutes that we've been looking through these sweaters.
I'm over it.
Kelly doesn't even care anymore. And then I'm looking and I see one that looks really unique, and she's like, oh, click that one. And we happened across the seller called Sweater Weather on Depop, and they sell unworn, that's just our washing machine, it's going to go off two times more, they sell unworn Pima cotton sweaters handmade in the 90s in Peru, and they had this one circus sweater on sale for $36 with free shipping. Never worn.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Check out Sweater Weather on Depop. I don't know if they're anywhere else.
They are, yeah.
Besides Depop, you have to have the app.
Which and I think is worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, we found this one gem. I don't know. I'm not going to.
If I was looking for a specific item, like you were looking for a sweater, like I wouldn't just go on there just to browse for no reason, but looking for a specific garment.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
I think it's like more, to me, the people reselling stuff on there, they don't have taste. But I know a lot of people that make garments that sell on there.
Yeah, it seems.
And I feel like that might be more the.
It's kind of like for cheap designer clothes or like avant-garde designer or.
Right.
Designer from the 90s.
When I tell you these sweaters were ugly, y'all, like,
well,
shit was ooga coogly.
Ooga cooga. But this one Sweater Weather brand, it's like their grandfather's business, and then the grandfather passed away, and now they're donating some of the proceeds to the Alzheimer's Association, and
it was only $36, and like the other ones that aren't on sale, I think they're like $45. It's still really cheap for what it is. Like
hand knit, 100% cotton sweater.
Like crazy embroidery.
So beautiful. And
it's art. It's definitely wearable art. Which is what, sorry.
Go ahead.
It's just what I'm always looking for. Like I never want anything bland. Like the fact that I was even looking at some of this stuff online is very out of character for me. Like, it's gotta be a pandemic. If I'm looking at gray, like if I'm looking at neutral colored sweaters.
Full price.
Right.
I know. So check out Depop for that Sweater Weather, and it's another major manifestation that you really wanted to go shopping, and we found you something that is a little more expensive than you would pay for at Goodwill, but it's much way better quality.
Right. And not something that would, I mean, maybe the potential is there to find something like that, but stuff like that would get snatched up so fast. Like, and it's brand new. That's the other thing. It's never been worn. It doesn't smell like an old person or a Goodwill.
And I just, as we were on the app, I just kept thinking, like, we have now looked through hundreds of thrift stores that are not in our location.
Right, and you kept saying that, but, like, I disagree with that logic.
I don't know.
Because clearly, based on what those people picked out, they weren't looking at it with the same eyes.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was still, like, our first time on the app. I feel like maybe it'll get more tailored to my tastes the more I interact with it.
Okay.
Hopefully it's got an algorithm.
I don't know. I think these people just...
You're stereotyping. You're a generalizationer.
Okay. Well, prove me wrong.
You got the sweater that proved you wrong.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. We found the diamond and the rough...
It only took 20 minutes instead of running a car, going to Goodwill, going to Saville, going to all these different places where we're never going to find this beautiful, never worn, 100% cotton.
I don't disagree, and I think both truths can exist simultaneously.
That's cool. Well, I think we've talked enough about your half-birthday present.
And then it got here. I was supposed to get here tomorrow on my actual half-birthday, but then it got here today for my half-birthday eve, so that now I can wear it tomorrow on my half-birthday.
I'm so happy for you, and it's so cute.
Thanks.
And the turtleneck that she got is going to be in the picture for this episode, like the promo image, so you'll be able to see her turtleneck image. And I think if you follow us on Instagram, you'll see her circus sweater.
You will.
You should follow my Finsta, which is Gemra1111.
J-E-M-R-A.
1111.
Yeah, I think so.
Check that out for all of our fashion choices and food selections.
And I have to go check these buns on.
But I wanted to tell you one more thing.
Okay.
Okay. Last week, remember when I came on and I was like, I just want something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I knew at the time that it was like kind of a bogus attitude. Like I knew that I was reaching outside of myself and everything. Like, like the future isn't it. And I was placing my feeling good in the future. And then I came across this, you know, the Instagram artist. Well, he's not an Instagram artist, but he's on Instagram, and his name's Ramin Nazer.
Yes.
He makes that cool psychedelic art.
Yes.
And maybe you saw this, but he made
I think I know what you're going to say.
He made the art that said, not dreading or looking forward to anything, I just totally am.
Yeah, and was it, like, the same day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that, and, like, I wanted to tell you about it, but
I put it in my story, so maybe that's why you didn't want to tell me about it.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was it.
But that just, like, it really, it answered a question, first of all. Like, oh, obviously. I just totally am. That's the perspective that I prefer to exist in.
Right.
And it was so helpful to instantly get that confirmation that that's not it. It's not looking forward to things. It's not dreading things. It's just being. That's where you'll find your plug for your God-sized hole.
Right.
So it was really cool to see that instantly, and it made me realize, like, anytime I bring up a question on the fun show, it's usually answered within that week. So
oh, wow.
If you have any questions.
Magic.
Or, you know, like, I do like looking at this fun show as coming on here to ask you advice sometimes or, like, telling you my contrast.
Right.
And anytime I give voice to it on the fun show, I get the answer within the week.
Very interesting topic to consider because I feel like sometimes I hold back from bringing voice to certain things because I don't want to amplify them.
Mm.
And so it's like I don't even want to make that more real by recording it on the fun show.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I like what you said. Lindy, no. I like what you said about how when you brought voice to it, then you got your answer, you know?
Right,
and it's like you're not trying to make it not real. You're trying to let it go.
Exactly. And we're going to take a break because today we're recording with our cats and messing with
and
our
bad
stuff.
Subliminal loving for the love of everything and the spaces in between. A mix of down-tempo, ambient, experimental, and anything else I can get my hands on. Thursdays, 10 to 11 p.m. here on Shady Pines Radio.
Welcome back to the fun show. I forgot what I was supposed to say instead of welcome back.
Welcome back is fine.
Okay. Cool.
Welcome back to the fun show.
Here we are having fun. We checked the buns, hon, and they are fine.
They're great.
The laundry's done. The buns are frozen.
It's officially the weekend starting. We usually record this on Wednesdays, and then after the fun show is done, it's officially the weekend. And our work week is Monday and Tuesday, in case you're wondering. When we work, which some people's parents often do. Anyway.
We work more than that, but Monday and Tuesday are the only days that we're like, we got to return emails.
Yeah. Returning emails, I guess, is the only thing I would consider work about what I do.
Right on, babe. do you have a topic or would you like me to jump right in?
You said you had more stuff you needed to tell me, right? More. Well, with the meals and everything?
Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you was, is there any contrast you wanted to ask me about?
I have no contrast.
Really? Well, that's a good segue because Kelly and I were talking about how, you know, we've talked about this on the Fun Show a lot, about resistance and why do we resist working out? Why do we resist cooking? Why do we resist going to the store? Why do we resist doing our work? And so I'm pretty sure this happened after we recorded it last week, that I was asking you, what's the opposite of resistance?
No, we talked about this last week.
And we talked about focus?
Yeah, we talked about, I'm too focused to live like that.
I don't think we talked about that on the Fun Show.
We didn't?
We only talked about that on Zoom.
Oh. Okay.
I have it written on here for this week. It's not for last week.
Sorry, my mistake. All of my experiences are conflating onto each other.
And that's because they're all through this device right here, right. So it all feels the same, all of our interactions with everyone.
Wow, then yeah, I definitely want to talk about that.
So I was really wondering, like, if I'm constantly resisting, what is the opposite of that? And that can be my intention, or that can be my mental code or whatever. But I couldn't really figure out what is the opposite of resistance, because allowing, it sounds like you're giving permission, which really isn't up to me. Like, I get it, but it just, that word doesn't really resonate with me.
It had to work for before doing our workout classes was the litmus test for the pivot thought or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because before you work out, saying I'm allowing isn't really, doesn't really help.
It just doesn't.
Doesn't get the blood pumping. and so then the other things we ran through were like, I'm accepting, I'm in the flow, like all these things, this just didn't hit. And then I was reading, what was the book that I was reading? A Gucci Mane.
Oh, yeah, Guide to Greatness.
Yeah, the Gucci Mane Guide to Greatness. And it was that same day that I was asking Kelly, what's the opposite of resistance? And I'm reading Gucci, and he has a section where he says, success is all about being smart, being wise, and focus. And then it kind of hit me, like, focus is the opposite of resistance.
Right. Like how we had said focus is God when we talked about that.
And so it just like, it aligned so much with focus is God, because when I'm focused, I'm not thinking all of the resistant thoughts.
Right.
And when I'm focused, like I thought so much about this, about how focus is God because you're keeping it on a singular point, and because your attention is on a singular point, your thoughts aren't clouding your connection to God, which is there naturally.
Right.
So focus just like reveals the God that's already there. It's not that the act of focusing is God. Well, it is, right. But it's more about like you're revealing the God self that's already there with your focus. So I really pondered that a lot, and I gotta say, when we're about to work out and I say, I'm focused, like, I know that that's what I want. It doesn't necessarily get me like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go work out, I'm focused. It's not like an instant successful mental code, but
it's still a work in progress?
Well, it really is exactly the point that I want. And so I don't know if it's still, like, if it's the mental code that I need, like, repeating, I am focused, it's okay, but it's not really it. But setting that as my intention, like, that was my new moon intention on Sunday.
It's right.
Being focused.
Well, it did really help me in one particular instance. I'm sure are you sure we didn't talk about this?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because, well, I know I've talked on here about, well, maybe I haven't, but our neighbor, whatever. Okay, so we share the garbage bins with our neighbor. And it's just one other apartment, and we all put our garbage in the same bins, and we're one of the three of us is responsible for taking it to the curb and bringing it back in. Well, some of us do it more frequently than others by a long shot. And so last garbage day, we had a bunch of cat shit bags. I'm not even gonna try to beat around the bush. The garbage, so the cans are at the curb, and of course we have to scoop the litter and clean up cat messes, like, you know, on the regular. Yeah. So, there's like maybe three of them. Like, okay, so the way our house is set up, there's a door that goes into a stairwell. And right outside our door, we have a landing that's basically like a mudroom. And then there's the stairs right down that go to the door outside. And so when we don't feel like taking the cat shit all the way out to the garbage, we'll just leave it there in the mudroom for like, you know, a couple hours or something until the next time we go outside. So it was, they had already picked up the garbage and the bags were starting to build up, but I didn't want to bring the cans in that day because I felt like I had been doing it every single time, and I felt like we, apartment up, had been doing it every single time. And so I'm doing something, Jessica goes to get the laundry, and all of a sudden I heard the cans being dragged in, and I'm like, well, I knew it was Jessica because she had just gone. And I'm like, man. I'm like, I wanted our neighbor to have to bring them in this time. So she gets back in and I'm like, thanks for bringing in the cans, even though I wanted her to do it this time. And Jessica was like, I did too, but I'm too focused to live like that. And It was so eye-opening for me, like, yeah, like, okay, I felt like she should be doing something, like, it just so many unnecessary, like, emotions that didn't, you know, when I could have just brought them in and then they were in, which, you know, to give myself credit, oftentimes I do just do that, but yeah, Jessica just helped me remember, yeah, I'm too focused to just be living shit bags, like sacrificing my own well-being because I feel like someone else should be doing something instead of me.
Yeah, it really, it's like I could immediately feel when I started thinking I am focused or like working with that, I immediately could tell any time something was draining my focus, like worrying about what someone else is doing or
right.
or shoulding.
Right.
Or, yeah, just like wasting, literally draining my energy thinking about things that don't matter or that I have control over instead of being focused on whatever I want to be focused on that day.
Right. And then it felt so much better for it to be done and for our area to be clean and to have chosen focus instead of, I don't even know.
Like irritation.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, like, yeah, like...
And or postponement.
Postponement, yeah. And that really says a lot about irritation and annoyance, which I feel like I feel a lot. And I used to think it was kind of out of my control. Which is why I am focused is so helpful for me because I used to think it wasn't up to me whether I'm focused or not. I thought that focus only came as a result of contrast and that I had to basically wait until I felt bad enough to decide to focus. I just never consciously thought, like, it's up to me how focused I am every single day. I just kind of, like, would let it go to the whims of manifestation or whatever. Like,
right.
I thought it was just the cycle that I had to live in of feel bad, focus, get a manifestation, feel good, or, you know, feel bad, focus, feel good, get a manifestation, get attached to the manifestation, feel bad, have to focus again.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was just that wave, and I had no control over riding that wave.
Huh.
Not, I mean, I know logically that I do, of course, but I've just always felt kind of a victim of my being unfocused.
Wow.
Like, I thought that was just part of my personality.
Wouldn't that be like the antithesis of everything that we teach?
I never really, like, connected it. I just thought it was just kind of one of my weaknesses that I was prone to be unfocused.
Huh.
Which I think is more of a human condition thing. Like,
right.
You unfocus when you don't have contrast because focusing takes energy, and so you don't want to... It's like kind not. It's sort of laziness, but it's also just... It is natural to unfocus when you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're focusing to feel good.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I don't know that... I'm not going to co-sign on that statement, no.
Just like...
But I understand what you're saying.
If I'm feeling great, I don't prioritize writing and counting as much.
Well, I wouldn't say that's a natural inclination. I would say... I wouldn't agree that I'm the same.
Okay. Well... Since I've had this epiphany that I am focused and that it's my choice, I've decided to be a lot more proactive in staying focused instead of waiting until I feel bad enough.
Makes sense.
To start counting or writing. And it's been life-changing in these past few days since Friday or whatever. Like,
right, it had to be Friday, so we couldn't have talked about it.
Right, right. And so I've been, like, more deliberate about getting my writing done, and I know that if I do it first thing in the morning that I feel much better throughout the day, much more focused. So that's my new thing, is to do my writing first thing. It makes an enormous difference. And I just feel so empowered not knowing that my focus is under my control.
Right on.
And... when I say I am focused, like, I use that more of an intention instead of a mental code. And then I decide that day what I want to be focused on. Is
right.
it love? Is it God? Is it counting? Is it whatever?
I love it.
So I am focused. And
I'm focused on the focus.
Yeah. And it's just been really eye-opening how easy it is when I feel like I have control over my focus. And I'm not just like... oh, I'm a Pisces, and I'm stoned, I'm unfocused.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I just had a limiting belief that I hadn't even been aware of.
Right on.
That I was naturally unfocused, and life was harder for me.
So, well, yeah. I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
I'm not the target audience, but I'm happy that you found a good...
Yeah.
No, actually, I am. I got a lot out of I am focused, too. And I got a lot out of I'm too focused to live like that is what really hit it home for me. We want to make an exercise in that vein. I'm too focused on blank to blank.
Right. Like, right now, I'm worried about what Pony's doing. But I'm too focused on... listening and participating in the fun show to worry about if my cat's under the bed being bad. She's not.
She is.
I just saw her come out from under the bed.
Okay. Well, let's take a break and we can regroup.
Investigate.
What is Inside the Fishbowl? Honestly, I don't even know, and I host the show. Did you know only 20% of the oceans have been explored? That's crazy. But we're not here to talk about oceans. We're here to talk about fishbowls. DJ Fish here to let you know what you can find inside the fishbowl. You can find an eclectic mix of music from around the world and from right here in Portland. You can find cumbia, jazz, punk, soul, funk, country, rock, ambient, hip-hop, craftwork, and much, much, much more. It all depends on which pet shop I was in most recently. So join DJ Chip and I every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on Shady Pines Radio. Jump inside that fishbowl, y'all.
Welcome back to the fun show.
This is your 21 minutes of fun.
I did have one more thing to talk about before it's your turn, if you're interested.
Yeah, sure.
The other thing, okay, since we were talking about writing, I had this other epiphany. Remember last week we were talking about, like, I wanted to cry, or, like, how do you feel? How do you get yourself to feel things?
Yeah, I remember you wanted to cry.
So this week I'm really on a writing kick, because every time I do my writing, I feel better, and I realize that that's like such an easy way to feel things, like, yes, that I might be bottling up or avoiding or not wanting to feel. And I just wanted to talk about that. It's kind of like something that I knew before, but I had forgotten, and it's been really helpful, because we've talked about this on the Fun Show a lot, about how I don't want to feel and I would prefer to take a drug to not feel, but that's not really my thing anymore. So, but I didn't really remember how to feel, or like how to process emotions.
Right on.
Because I've never really tried, I guess, other than when I have to get my once every 5 years therapy or life coaching for all the bottled up emotions. So I was doing my writing the other day, and I didn't cry, but I like investigated how I was feeling and talked about it with myself, and then basically processed it and let it go, and felt so much lighter afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a major revelation for me that when I want to, you know, like, go turn to a drug or something, that writing actually is a very viable journaling is a very viable tool for that. And I'm just bringing it up because I know you know that. Just note to self, note to any listeners.
I just was wondering, like, had you not been doing that up until that point? Like, what had you been doing in your writing if it was not the processing of your emotion?
I just hadn't really been thinking about it as that. I was just more going through the motions in my writing. Like, I wasn't feeling inspired in my writing. I felt like it was pointless. I didn't really know what I should be doing in my writing. And, like, I was feeling really uninspired, because I want to write more, like, deeper stuff regularly, and I just couldn't. It wasn't working, because I didn't have the right intention behind it or awareness of what I was trying to do. And I just forgot how it worked. But now that I have this re-epiphany, I know how to feel my emotions again and let them go. And it just shocked me. Like, it's that easy. I could spend 10 minutes, figure out how I'm feeling, and figure out how I'd rather feel, and then that's it. And I don't have to numb it or hide from it. It just blew my mind.
This is quite a revelation.
Just stay blowing my mind this week, remembering what I forget.
Reminds me of one of my favorite things I read once, that I don't remember who said it or where I read it, that writing is excrement.
Yes.
And that stuck with me ever since. And I always, like, that's one reason why I always try to keep up with my writing, as I see it as a, it's like hygienic.
Yeah, you know? That makes a lot of sense. And I guess, I think part of it is I'd been looking at it too much as a work product, as something that I'm trying to get something out of.
Oh, no, no. You can't make art for a reason.
Just like, or, you know, like, I'm trying to, every time I do my writing, I'm trying to manifest, or
beyond manifestation.
Just like thinking it needed to have an ends to justify the means.
Which would be to feel good, right?
I just had lost my connection to it. It had gotten boring and stale, and I just didn't know. I just forgot how important it was. And now I'm, like, back at it. And I feel like it's partly because I'm focused.
Right.
And I just wanted to bring it up because I feel so much better. And now that I'm going to, like, do my writing in the morning, or that I've done that twice now, I just have, like, a whole new lease on life, because there's these tools that I knew worked in the past, and now they're working again. Because I don't know, like I asked. I wanted inspiration for writing, and now I have it.
Right.
And it's so cool how when you ask, it is given.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just wanted to tell me about that?
Yeah, that it was just a major epiphany that, like, in life coaching, one of the goals is to feel. And it's been hard for me to figure out how to help other people feel, like feel through their emotions when I wasn't sure how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I still, like, it's so natural for me to want to turn towards a substance when I am feeling. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of when I first got sober from alcohol, that one day I was going to drink, and then my life coach said, well, when you want to drink, just try journaling first. And so I did, and I just ended up writing, like, I'm so bored, I want to drink because I'm so bored. And when I saw that written down, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to drink because I'm bored. So just, like, to see what I'm thinking, mm-hmm. and to see them from a third-person perspective has been just really helpful, and I just forgot that it works so well.
One thing I always like to, when I'm writing, I'll say, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here?
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, not like, why do I exist, but why am I here at this computer doing this?
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, because then it really does bring to light, like, yeah, what are you doing here? And, you know, and then it's like, oh yeah, because this is real. I can tune myself to a vibration, you right. know, and like, if I don't believe in this, then what the fuck am I doing here, you know, attempting it?
Right. Yeah. And also, like, sometimes, or often, I used to, when we would both say, we're going to go do our writing, instead of doing my writing, I would go do my transcript for my video or work on my video or, you know, like, do something that wasn't my writing, that it was still something I had to get done that I thought I was still tuning, and I was not tuning. I was working.
It's like reading a book during meditation. Like, yeah, you're sitting there quietly, but no, you're not really doing the same thing.
I just forgot why I was doing it, and now I really like, why am I here? That's helpful. But I remembered, and I just feel so much better. It's great.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks. I've been really struggling without the kratom, not lately, but like, I never really learned how to stick with it, dealing with my emotions on myself. So now I have a tool that still works all these years later. Yeah. I remembered why I'm here.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. It's a big day for me.
Okay, so anyway, moving on.
Let's hear it.
Was that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I didn't really have much. One thing I wrote down was, the feeling of nowhere to be and nothing to do is the feeling of God.
Yeah, that's good. Like, it's already perfect.
Which isn't really anything mind... blowing.
You just like, wanted to say that to tell me? Why'd you want to tell me?
Well, I guess I wanted to investigate the whyness of that, but as I read it, it's like, it's pretty obvious, like, that one, that's kind of like the feeling that everyone would seek, right? Although maybe that's not true, because a lot of people, like, being busy, they wouldn't want to have nothing to do or nowhere to be.
And I think when people want to be busy, other than, like, avoiding whatever they want to avoid about themselves, it can also be because they would rather be in a flow state than still.
Okay.
Like,
but I didn't say anything about still. I just said feeling of nowhere to be and nothing to do.
True. Well, that reminds me of... Okay. I don't know if we brought up the Astro Jacks I repaired on the fun show.
I don't know if they know what Astro Jacks are.
Astro Jacks are three balls on a string, and they changed my life in 2011. because it was the first time I felt the feeling of physical flow, like with a flow toy. They're a flow toy. And when I was playing them a lot, I was also tripping a lot, and they are amazing when you're tripping. And so that's kind of like what I associate them with, is the feeling of tripping. And that's why they're so important to me. But then as the years go by, I lose the trippy feeling. And I'm just like, what am I doing with this yo-yo? Like, it's still fun.
Wow, really?
It's still fun. But I had lost the feeling of like, I hadn't really felt it since we moved to Cleveland, I think.
Because you never want to go outside and play with me.
Well, it has more to do with just like feeling afraid and overthinking. But I've repaired my light up Astro Jacks, and I've been playing a little bit in the house. And a couple days ago was the first time that I had the epiphany of like, I'm here to play and not have a result. Like, right. Even playing to feel better is like too much, or even playing for fun was like, it right. was too many thoughts for uh-huh. me to get there,
uh-huh.
to get into that flow feeling. And so the other night was like the first time I felt the flow in a while, in that way, in a uh-huh. flow toy way. And it just, I've just had quite a week. I'm focused. My writing yeah. is working. I'm able to flow again.
Right. Wow. It almost seems like all of that went back to the focus.
Yeah, like, it did.
You're seeing so many effects from the focus. Like, you know how we're always saying, like, it's not the tool, it's the devotion to the tool, or the focus on the tool.
Right. Yeah. And I was able to, for the first time in a long time, like, let go of the thoughts and let my body be in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was playing the other night, that's when I realized, like, they were kind of talking to me a little bit, the Astro Jacks. And they talk in this high-pitched voice to
Yikes.
Me. Well, that's their voice. They're really little. They don't have a big voice box.
Okay.
And they were talking to me, and they're like, basically told me, like, you can only focus on love from now on. And that if you want to focus on anything but love, you're just going to create drama for yourself. And that was it's a recurring epiphany for me, that love is what I need to be focused on. Like, focus isn't about getting shit done. It isn't about staying focused so you can get through your to-do list. It's about...
No, the word focus has been co-opted.
Yeah, by capitalism. Yes. For sure. No, focus is about love. And, I mean, it can be about other things, but love is, to me, the main point of focus. And it really went along with what you were talking about last week about focusing on one word.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Astro Jacks are telling me to just focus on love, just... And then you won't create so much strife and, like, problems and things right. going wrong.
And love isn't, like, not the thought, not a concept of love, but just, like, existing. Like, the I am and love are, like, the same thing. It's the unadulterated consciousness.
It's like a flow. It's like a love isn't necessarily an action. Like, I wanted to say love is an action, but it's more like an opening of a channel so that it's flowing through.
Like, right. It's more of like a state of being.
I am loving. I am flowing love, as opposed, like, I'm not just stagnant love chilling here.
Right.
I am, like, when I am alert and awake and I am focused, I am loving.
Hmm.
It's like, it's kind of an action, but it's like it's a flowing. It's a channeling. An allowing. A focusing.
It kind of makes me think of this other topic that I wanted to bring, which we're getting short on time now, but it's from this book I'm reading by Alan Watts called Cloud Hidden, Whereabouts Unknown. And it's a collection of essays that he wrote when he was like isolate, self-isolating in the mountains. And
during the pandemic.
No, just for fun. One thing that really struck me is that he keeps on saying, and I couldn't find the specific passage that I wanted to read, although I did find another one that's along the same lines, but he says not to even contemplate the Watcher. Like, one thing that I know specifically, one of the exercises in the monthly magical record, the reader is instructed to ponder who is doing the watching. And we've both talked about how that's a really effective technique for gaining that, what would you call it, like outside of the body experience consciousness.
Right, witness.
Right.
Consciousness.
So what he says is to not even think about the Watcher at all, because the idea of the Watcher is still a thought. And so he says you get lost in this recursive... Here, let me read this part. The point is rather that our thoughts and ideas are nature, just as much as waves on the ocean and clouds in the sky. The mind grows thoughts as the field grows grass. If I think about thoughts as if there were some I, some thinker, watching them from outside, there arises the infinite regression of thinking about thinking, etc. Because this I is itself a thought, and thoughts, like trees, grow of themselves. In solitude, it is easier for thoughts to leave themselves alone. It is, thus, a mistake to try to get rid of thoughts, for who will push them out? But when thoughts leave themselves alone, the mind clears up.
Oh, man. They're like fractals.
So he's like, don't even, even the Watcher isn't real.
Right. Right. Which because is, the Watcher is a thought.
Right. So it's like, we need to reevaluate our whole curriculum, because we do a lot about the Watcher.
Yeah, but still, being the Watcher is... I like to think of our work as, like, steps of in consciousness evolution, I guess. Like, you can't go all at once, and getting to the Watcher is a huge step. Like, you got to get your thoughts down to one single point before you can get to no thoughts.
I don't disagree. But it was the first time I ever thought I ever... heard anyone say in a book not to even contemplate the Watcher.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that either.
And I wanted to talk more about it, so I'll have to investigate further and find some more, because he talks about it more. Don't think about the Watcher. Don't think about what is conscious.
Well, he's saying don't think about the Watcher, and I agree, but is he still saying be the Watcher?
No. Because you couldn't be the Watcher, because that's also something that's invented. So it's like you have to release all of it, even your concept of the Watcher.
Mm. Is it similar to that idea of having a single focus so that you can drop the single focus to be nothing?
I think so. But yeah, I'm still wrapping my Watcher mind around it.
Right. Yeah, I do feel like for our work that one of the last frontiers that I have yet to grasp is like, I think they talked about it in Die to Live, where you get your thoughts focused on us, like you focus on a rose so that you can let go of the rose. And that's the ultimate goal of meditation, is to not be focused on any object and to just be without...
You're saying you don't grasp that? Isn't that a lot of what we teach in the, especially the Beyond Manifestation Journal?
It's like, is the word ineffable? Like, you can't talk about it? No, it's something that, like, maybe in my own meditation practice, I haven't necessarily been able to get there often.
Maybe that also comes back to the focus.
Ah, yes. Yes, the focus. Hey, that's going to come this week. The rose is going to drop. I'm going to drop the rose this week. Cool.
All right.
ready for it.
We'll keep you updated, but until then, go to schooloflifedesign.com/magical library and sign up for all of our digital downloads, Jessica's meditations, her oracle deck. This is Shady Pines Radio.
Get the app, shadypinesradio.com. And thanks for listening. We love you.
This has been quite fun, Jessica.
It has been. You had a good time. It's your half birthday party.
I had a blast.
I'm so glad. Everyone, send Kelly some half birthday love. Yes, please. Venmo Jessica-Mullen-12. Thanks for listening.